As the Lord may help, I'll try and speak a little word you'll find in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As we read together this evening, this good man, the apostle, had a tremendous lot of persecution. He had very much trouble. He had enough to knock religion out of a man. And yet, he was secretly supported and sustained under all these things. And as we read in Hebrews 11, what chum of God's dear people had to pass through on their way to heaven, torn asunder, hated, and yet they did not faint, they did not give up, they pursued the narrow path. And it was so with the apostle, for which cause we faint not. There was a cause that prevented him from fainting. Generally through weakness, through strain, and other things, people faint. They become unconscious. We may understand this in a spiritual sense. God's dear people, sometimes are ready to faint. Solomon tells us, thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And some of us may have felt this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that's why God's dear people do not faint. I think it's good Bunyan tells us somewhere where he saw a fire burning, someone continually pouring water upon it. Yet the fire didn't go out, it mystified him. Until someone bade him look in another direction. And there was one continually pouring oil upon that fire. And it kept it going. It was the dear Lord in his love and in his mercy, pouring the oil of grace into the hearts of his dear people, and that keeps them going. It's one of those lovely words in Scripture, grace. All God's dear people love it. The more they understand it, the more they love it. So although Paul met with many enemies. Satan hindered him very much, and he had his afflictions and other things, yet he didn't give up. He did not faint. There were other things that preserved him from fainting. God's faithfulness to him. What a wonderful blessing. Our God is faithful. Whatever should we do if we couldn't believe that? Religion wouldn't be worth anything. We couldn't believe God is faithful. Right through the sacred scriptures, we read of a faithful God. We read of a performing God. You and I may make promises with all good intentions, but something untoward may come and may hinder us keeping those promises. Never so with God. Whatever he promises, he will certainly perform. And his faithfulness keeps his dear people from fainting. He is grace to help in times of need, keeps them from fainting, giving up. And that good hope, sometimes set before them in the gospel, preserves them from fainting. I sometimes feel thankful, you know. God hasn't allotted us any longer time on earth than roughly 80 years. We shouldn't want to live here always. But amidst our trials, amidst our afflictions, amidst our temptations, sometimes God's people are like we read in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. So, through many losses, crosses, trials, and afflictions, God's dear people press on. They faint not, because they believe their God will bring them through. In the chapter we read, the apostle had that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan to buffet him. All God's people have a thorn in the flesh. For this thing, Paul says, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. God had put it there for a gracious purpose. One of the worst things we have to contend with here below is pride. Terrible thing. Subtle thing. A soul-ruining thing, and it would have ruined the apostle, but God sent that thorn in the flesh, and that made the apostle feel his need of support and strength. He didn't faint under it, because God gave him a remarkable word. My grace is sufficient for thee. Marvellous word. I thought many times about it, my friend. You could go anywhere. You could bear anything. If God kindly and graciously said to you, my grace is sufficient for thee. Whatever path you might be walking in. So, it's another reason why the apostle didn't faint. The Lord supported him and sustained him under that heavy load, under that great trial. Many things in the scriptures which testify of God's goodness and mercy to his dear people. They were brought very low sometimes. The godly psalmist, he said in that pathetic psalm, O Lord, my soul is cast down within me through the working sometimes of unbelief and through adversities. God's dear people may be cast down. And yet, they didn't give up. They did not faint. They pressed on, pursued their way as helped by the Lord. Then, in the next place, the apostle says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Two different natures. We might almost say two different persons. At any rate, two natures in one person. He seems to speak in our text almost as if he were two people, or had two natures. He speaks of the outward man, and he speaks of the inward man. And he says of the outward man, but though our outward man perish. Sometimes it seems sad to me, and solemn, that everything in God's creation perishes, sooner or later. We may see the goodly oak, but with the years, it gradually weakens until it perishes. Whatever you might think of tonight, of a natural kind, of God's creation, it perishes. The whole world will one day perish, be finished. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and there will be an end. But Paul comes closer home in our text. And we may, some of us, feel this. Some of you younger ones may not feel it yet. But you will do, if the Lord spares you. You will find your natural strength decays. It will go. Things some of us could do easily, years back we cannot do. I was speaking to a friend a time back, and he said, you know, I know how to do those things. I've done them many times. I know how to do them, but I cannot do them. Strength gone. Natural strength decays. And that's where some of us are tonight. Can no longer do as we have done. Now it's a good thing if God sanctifies this knowledge to us so that we do not put our trust in the flesh or in anything that we might do. There's no curse against that tried sinner who puts their hope and confidence in the Lord. But there's many a curse against those who put their trust in the flesh. And so, as we may sometimes feel this, we realize our mortality, realize we're dying creatures, and these things may very mercifully and graciously bring us off the things of this poor world. By these things God's people are weaned, my soul, says David, is as a weaned child. Now, it may be a painful business, but a wonderful mercy to be weaned from the things of this poor world, so that we dare not, would not, set up anything as an idol, fall down and worship it. We know, like ourselves, that must perish. I say it's a hard lesson to learn, a very hard one, but it's a very, very profitable one. So, God's dear people, day by day we'll feel what the apostle says, though our outward man perish. But he speaks of another man. And he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's a secret. That's why he didn't faint, my friends. Because of those renewings. Of what his enemies couldn't understand. Couldn't make out. They persecuted him. They hated him. They gave him many stripes. But God secretly renewed his strength. How does God do this? By mercifully and graciously feeding his dear people. You know, one good man, he was on the point of fainting. He hadn't had anything to partake of for a time. But the Lord gave him good food. And it is said of Elijah, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. What a wonderful thing to know this spiritual renewing. How does God do it? Quite often, through his precious word. We said this morning, I love the sacred scriptures. They're God's word. They contain God's will. They contain his mercy to poor sinners. Thy word was found and I did eat. Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. My dear friends, it won't matter what our circumstances were tonight, if God was to come to us and bless his word to us, that would strengthen us with might in the inward man. Why not strengthen us outwardly? But it would strengthen us inwardly. And strength is often renewed by exercise. How many of God's dear people have found their strength renewed through prayer. When help to pray. When they hold converse with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, prayer is very sacred, very wonderful. Do you pray? Do you try to pray? Do you sometimes find a little strengthening at the throne of grace? You sometimes find a little sweet relief there when you are unable to cast your burdens upon the Lord and He supports you. I don't know what I should have done, especially these last 12 months, but for the throne of grace. And so we experience sometimes through painful things regarding the outward man that the inward man is renewed day by day. Mercy to have this new part in there. Wonderful mercy. To be a sinner born again. The ungodly do not hunger and thirst for the things of God. No. I sometimes feel very sorry for the ungodly. Got nowhere to go to in trouble. No one to look to. No one to help them. God's dear people have got the throne of grace, the mercy seat, and they have got a good God to help them. A God that will never fail them. And thus, through many a trial, many difficulties, through much adversity often, God's dear people still press on. But that's the secret. The inward man is renewed day by day. Poor old nature doesn't want the things of God. That doesn't hunger and thirst after Jesus and His truth. No, it's the inward man. That's a soul. Born again, renewed by the Holy Spirit, that's a part. It's going to heaven first. Tis indeed. That's the preparation God's dear people receive. Their never dying souls are blessed. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day, secretly renewed, secretly sustained, under some of the darkest dispensations, through some of the most trying things. The inward man is renewed, and through this renewing, God's dear people sometimes get their best blessings, have their most favoured seasons. Some of us tonight, the Lord hasn't sanctified things to us. We shouldn't have much. We may not feel to have much religion as it is, but I venture to say this, the sweetest blessings, the most gracious helps have often come through the greatest trials God's dear people have to pass through. Good King Hezekiah said, by these things men live. That is, spiritually considered. The Lord was pleased to speak to him. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We need it. I need it. You need it. We don't know what tomorrow holds forth for us. We don't know what the end of this day has in store for us. So this is a good mark, a good evidence in the favour of God's people. They want daily and hourly renewings. Daily I'd repent of sin. Daily washing Calvary's blood. So the apostle says, day by day, as the day may demand, as the trials may demand, the Lord is able to come and to grant those wonderful and those spiritual renewings. So that wherever you might be, whatever the circumstances might be, when you get this renewing, there is submission to your Heavenly Father's will. It's a falling down at His feet. And this renewing takes away our fears, subdues our unbelief, takes away the fear and dread of death. Oh, it's a good place to be brought into, to feel these heavenly renewings as we journey on. Thirdly, the apostle, he speaks of our light affliction. We cannot say, comparatively speaking, that all the afflictions of God's dear people are light. Some of them are most trying. Some poor things are born with some impediment, are born with some weakness that accompanies them to their journey's end. So we cannot say in that sense that all the afflictions and trials of God's people are light. Yet they are supported. They are strengthened. I saw the mortal remains of one old friend laid in grave the other day. Her life had been largely one of affliction. We might say sanctified affliction. As the hymn writer says, sweet affliction, it lays me low at Jesus' feet. That's when we shall feel it light, when God sanctifies it. Another thing, when we feel what we deserve. What do you and I deserve? At God's hand, nothing good. We deserve His frown. We deserve at last to be banished to hell. Very solemn is this consideration. But if God mercifully, graciously convinces us what we really are, we shall feel the teeth that our afflictions are light. What do we deserve? At God's hand, what can we do? Do nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing good. Whatsoever. Thus we have to make comparisons sometimes. One more thought here. You have a little fellowship and communion with Jesus. You feel He was nailed to that cross for your sins. reading the other day of the sufferings of Jesus, and I felt, you know, my sins helped to nail him to that cross, causing him to suffer the just for the unjust. If ever you and I feel our afflictions to be light, it will be when we have communion and fellowship with the dear Lord Jesus. And again, the apostle says that these things are but for a moment. Whatever we may have to suffer, whatever we may have to go through, whatever losses we may sustain, comparatively speaking, but for a moment. The worldling's pleasure is but for a moment. It's fading. It is passing away. The dear child of God soon come to the end of all his or her afflictions. The Lord sometimes sends these things, or permits some of these things to bring us to our journey's end. Then, when that good hope sweetly springs up in our heart, when that goodly prospect is set before us, when we can sing from our hearts perhaps, "I, Canaan's goodly land in view, and realms of endless day." We come right into the text and we can use it sincerely and rightly for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now it works something in the hearts of God's people. So our text tells us, work is for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which has been said. These are amongst the most wonderful words that the apostle ever uttered. I'm not going to profess to be able to fathom them this night, but a good thing when the Holy Spirit does come secretly into our hearts and blesses the things through which we have to pass and raises up in our souls that good and that sweet hope of reaching glory. We haven't much in the Bible about heaven, really. God's good word tells us quite a lot of what won't be in heaven. But if we can get as far as one good man got, when he said, "There is a man in heaven I love. There is a man in heaven that loves me." That's sufficient. Sure it is. So you see, these afflictions, these trials, these oppositions through which God's dear people have to pass, there's a secret working. The poor things are cast down, tried, and dejected until they feel the Lord comes into their trouble and blesses it and sanctifies it. Otherwise they know these things wouldn't do them any good. For these things weaned the apostle Paul from the things of this poor dying world. They weaned the psalmist when he said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Now a little of this working, my friends, is death to the things of this poor dying world, and that liveliness in the things of God. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working for you. That divine, that wonderful preparation for a better world. Now, I have to leave these few remarks here. May we be able to think over and be preserved from fainting, though the way may be rough and thorny, though poor outward man perish, it must perish. Is appointed unto man once to die. No getting away from it. But that need not cause the dear child of God alarm. No. There's no other way to glory yet unless the Lord comes to judgment. But by death. Thus, sooner or later the outward man will perish. I want the Lord continually to remind me of this. If he didn't, I should get earthbound. I should get tied to the poor things of time and sense, and so would you. But you see, as the Lord reminds us that we are mortal, that keeps us exercised, keeps us praying, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Good little hymn, good prayer. Then to feel the Lord does from time to time strengthen us with might in the inward man, enabling us to wait upon him, renewing our strength, enabling us to press on and press through, though we have our afflictions, though we have our trials, won't last forever. No, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. How quickly time passes. Well, the Lord bless these few utterances for his name's sake. Amen.